The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
Thanks to Connor Eargood for joining us talking Michigan hockey here this morning on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. The Ticket online at WTK.com, as obviously that is the news of the week here in Ann Arbor and around the University of Michigan Athletic Department, is the dismissal on Friday of Mel Pearson as hockey coach and the promotion to interim head coach yesterday of Brandon Nerado. That is the story of, as I said, the day of the week, etc. But it's also fall camp week, training camp weeks, all kinds of other things going on. So we'll get back to the hockey story at the top of the hour when we are joined in about 35, 40 minutes from now by the mayor of Michigan Twitter, Scott Bell. There are other things going on. You know what's going on this morning that's really getting a lot of attention is the news about the L.A. Sparks. They were playing the Washington Mystics yesterday, and they were flying back home to L.A. to then play somebody tomorrow. It doesn't matter who it is, but they have a game tomorrow night out in L.A., and they go to the airport and their flight gets canceled. Now, a lot of flights have been getting canceled. Like, this is not unique to them, but this is, goes to the conversation about how the WNBA teams fly, you know, commercial, and they don't fly charter like most other professional sports leagues. Actually, all other professional sports leagues do. I understand why they don't, although they have changed. They are going to add charter flights for the playoffs, and they're going to work on some of those things, which is great. But as we've talked about, it's still a revenue losing endeavor for the NBA right now. So it's not like you are going to increase expenses without more money coming in to pay for it, right? So I understand why they fly commercial, despite the fact that it's not equal to the NBA or the other professional sports leagues, and maybe it should be, but it is a money losing venture right now. Still, not as much as it used to be, but still. But the one that the part of this that really got me, it wasn't that the flight got canceled. It wasn't that they had to stay another night. Like, as annoying as that is, like, it's a part of travel right now. There have been a ton of canceled flights. It's insane. But the post that's been getting the attention is that half of the team is at a hotel, but half are sleeping at the airport because there weren't enough rooms at the hotel they had checked out. So I don't get it. They played the Washington Mystics. That's the nation's capital. I don't know if they're at BWI, if they're at National, or if they're at Dulles. It doesn't matter. There are three airports there. It's a major city with hotels everywhere. You telling me you can't find, what is it, 8, 10, 5? I don't know how many rooms it is. You can't find hotel rooms to put them in a room? It doesn't have to be the same hotel, does it? Really? You literally couldn't put your players individually, each in their own Ubers, to go to their own hotels? Like, you couldn't do something so they don't have to sleep on a floor? Like, you can have the conversations about them, you know, moving with the WNBA, moving forward and getting to more charter flights and all that kind of stuff, which would eliminate this altogether. And I totally get that. But you're telling me there weren't enough rooms? I know the area pretty well. There are a lot of hotels around each of the airports. And oh, by the way, there are probably like 20 hotels just within like four blocks of the arena where they played the back. Oh, they don't play. Sorry, I take that back. They played a different arena. But still, there are hotels all across the city. There are hotels around the airport. For that matter, you probably could have found families that would have given up a big house for them to stay in for the night. There's probably a Sparks family that is, you know, fans of the team that would have said, you know what, we got room for you in our mansion. Come stay with us for the night. There are options to not stay at the airport like that. That to me is pretty ridiculous. And to make the excuse, there weren't enough rooms. You're telling me every decent to nice hotel room in the nation's capital area was sold out last night. On a Sunday night. Come on.
I'm shaking my head.
Right?
I don't buy it.
So half the team can go back to the hotel, no problem. The other team can't go somewhere else? It doesn't make sense to me. That's getting a lot of attention this morning on social media. I follow a lot of WNBA and women's college women's basketball writers, so I'm probably going to see it a fair amount anyway. But it's been flooding my social media feed this morning, and it's just... Yeah, that's the two stories that have been flooding my social media feed the most. There's that one, and there's a story out of Norman, Oklahoma, with the Oklahoma football team. Assistant coach Cale Gundy, who's been with the program for a long time. It sounds like he was there from Stoops to Lincoln Riley, and then he was retained by Brett Venables. But they were in a meeting, and apparently one of the players wasn't paying attention, and he was looking at something on his iPad that he was not football related. and he was distracted. So the coach goes over and grabs the iPad and he starts reading off the screen what was not football related to share with, you know, it kind of be like when we were in school, right? Like, oh, you wrote a note? Well, let's read the whole note to everybody. We're going to share this note with everybody. Anthony likes somebody, right? Like, right? And they'd be, they'd embarrass you that way. That's kind of what the teacher would do, right? So the coach, Cale Gundy, rips the iPad, takes the iPad from the kid, and he starts reading off the screen. Apparently, what was on the screen was not appropriate to read publicly, out loud. And he has then since resigned and apologized for doing that. Do we not have filters? I'm not saying, no, the kid's in the wrong for not paying attention in the team meeting, right? So that in itself, you that face ramifications, there's going to be something, right? There's something you're going to deal with because you're supposed to pay attention in your meetings. But if you're a coach, you're an adult, you're a professional, you can't take the screen. You're not going to pre-read it first. You're literally going to rip and read and just read off the screen without checking what it is. I'm not saying that, like, doesn't your brain at least kind of like, I don't know, maybe it's because of the job that I'm in, because I look at screens and I'm pre-reading before I read anything. It's just something that I do. And I've trained myself to do that. Maybe I'm speaking from a different position than I should be on this. But to me, you grab an iPad from a kid, you're not just going to start reading it. You would read it to yourself first and be like, are you kidding me? This is what you're looking at? There's a way to handle. I'm stunned how he handled it, to be honest. Not to taking the iPad away or to even look at it, but to just automatically start talking about and just reading off the screen without. Yeah, maybe he thought he was going to see something different on there. It was just to react, be like, that's what you're looking at? Pictures of whatever? Like, yeah, I don't. But those are the two stories that are getting more attention on my social media feed this morning than anything else. They're not Michigan related, obviously, but I really feel for those WNBA players that had to sleep on the floor or on a bench or something at the airport. A lot of us have done that, right? Canceled flights, longer. Like one year, I was going to Dallas to do a speaking event, and my flight was like 7:38, whatever it was in the morning. Yeah, it got canceled. I flew out at 6 o'clock at night. I spent the entire day at the airport. I got a lot of steps in. I probably found every place to get to stretch out and get, to get comfortable, but hadn't had to sleep overnight at an airport. That's pretty brutal. And then, but the Cale Gundy story was trending when I woke up this morning because it happened overnight last night. That was a pretty wild one. Of course, the top story here locally, and we're going to get back to it at the top of the hour, is Michigan hockey. Of course, the dismissal of Mel Pearson on Friday, and then the promotion of Brendan Arado to interim coach yesterday by Ward Manuel. And we're going to continue to follow that story and see what additional things happen. Reportedly, Billy McCault's being retained as an assistant coach. But there is, as we talked about with Connor in the last segment, there is an assistant coach spot to be filled. And we'll see over the course of the next day or days how Michigan decides to fill that spot. And we'll continue to follow the reporting on it, do our own reporting on it, and bring it to you right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket online at WTK.com. But got to talk a little Michigan football for a moment. Let's talk a little football. So, Anthony, Michigan. So, I think the guys over, the guys and gals, everyone that's running Michigan social media, Michigan football social media, I think they know how to get the fans going a little bit. And that's why they post the things that they do, right? You see a really sweet play in practice, they're going to show the singular play, right? They're not showing all of practice. Practice isn't open. You're not getting like a lot. You're getting a lot of still pictures and occasional B-roll video essentially here and there. So like the one yesterday was a nice play. DJ Turner was right in. I think it was Ronnie Bell. He was guarding in a one-on-one drill, and he was right there, broke up the pass. Now, you could talk about the pass wasn't the perfect pass, but it's okay. Not every pass is going to be perfect. But every once in a while, you do see a perfect pass. And I don't know if you've seen it yet, Anthony, but on, I think it was Friday, Michigan football tweeted out a J.J. McCarthy to Roman Wilson touchdown connection, and it got the buzz going for Michigan fans. And rightfully so, because it was a thing of beauty. I mean, it was a perfect throw. It was an awesome throw. Now, it was not, while it was an awesome throw, it was not, it's not indicative of anything else, right? An awesome throw is one thing, and that's great, and you see the arm strength. But remember, whatever you see coming out of fall camp, whether it's, oh, my friend went to practice today, right? Someone I know went to practice today, or I'm reading a camp report from a singular day from one reporter, from a, you know, from one person on a singular day, or seeing picture, you know, video from a singular day. It is just that, a singular day or a singular practice or a singular play, right? It's, you're not seeing everything. And so you are missing context. It's a, you know, to use the quarterback competition as an example, and I've not been to practice, so I'm not even going to mention names on this, but I've had this conversation so many times with people. They're like, yeah, I went to practice yesterday and quarterback A was awesome. Quarterback B was okay. Then they come out of it saying, yeah, quarterback A has got to be our quarterback this year, right? Well, they saw one practice. But what if they went 2 days later to practice and quarterback A was just okay and quarterback B was awesome? Who's the person that went to practice that day is going to come back and say, quarterback B's got to be the quarterback, right? These are all slivers, right? We're all seeing portions and parts of what's going on. And that's why you have to kind of parse comments. That's why Sam does a really good job of getting a bunch of different reports from people and putting them together, because he's corroborating things that's happened on more than one day, that kind of stuff. Or when you hear the coaches speak, and so we've got, we have the audio we played for you this morning, Sharon Moore. Tomorrow morning, we're going to play for you the Matt Weiss. You have to kind of, you know, listen to the coach speak, take the comments that you can, you know, that you can kind of run with a little bit, and then, you know, kind of go from there. It's kind of hard to, the coach speak is there. For me, I just get excited when it's the first press conference of fall camp, which means fall camp's really underway, right? The coaches are talking about, they're not giving you away information per se, but they're saying things like, yeah, they look, you know, we're excited to be in pads. Yeah, the pads are crunching. Like, you're not getting a lot out of the first few days other than the continuity of the team, the excitement level of the team. You're hoping that, especially early on, but obviously throughout, but in particular early on, you're hoping to not hear anything about fresh injury news. It's one thing to, you know, to ask about JJ, right? And JJ is throwing and doing everything, right? That's, you want injury updates on guys. Ronnie Bell, great still picture of Ronnie Bell. He went up to make a grab, elevates, and what you see in the picture, no knee braces, not on either knee. If you don't remember which knee the injury was, the point is to know that there is no knee brace, at least in that picture, there was no knee brace on either knee, which is great news. If he's running freely like that, that's because coming off knee injuries, it's as much the physical part, obviously, of going through the rehab and all that kind of stuff, but there's also the mental part of knee injury, right? You have a knee injury. Can you trust your knee? A lot of guys go through the mental part of it, but if he's able to go out there and go through practice, get hit a few times, you know, go up, land, all the different things that you need to be able to do with your knee, right? We were at the women's soccer game on Saturday night, and one of our players had a little cut, like made a cut, not a cut like on her knee, but she made a cut, made a move, and she cut, and her leg gave out. And they had to stop the clock, bring the trainer out, and we'll get an update from Coach Klein next week, maybe this week, if not next week, and we'll see what the status is. But, yeah, that's the first exhibition game, and you might lose a player for an extended period of time. Now, I don't know what the injury was. I'm not saying that for her in general, but you don't know, right? Any flukish thing can happen on any given play. You plant, and your foot goes one way, and your knee goes the other, you know, because your foot got caught in, you know, in the grass or in the turf or whatever. You know, crazy things can happen. So it's great to see Ronnie looking and sounding like he's looking confident and feeling confident and feeling comfortable, because that's a really important thing for, obviously, for him, because the mental part of getting over the injury is really important. You know, for JJ, and they talked to I believe it was Matt Weiss about this. I'm going to call him Josh Weiss so many times because I had a friend in high school named Josh Weiss. And it's going to take a long time for me to really, and for that matter, the former OC's first name was Josh. So it's just going to. But Matt Weiss was talking yesterday, and if you remember last year, we heard stories about JJ after games, late night throwing sessions with some of his teammates. Yeah, those aren't happening anymore. Not because they weren't valuable, because they were valuable for the players, but because JJ has learned that his arm is a jewel, right? I think that maybe that's a good way to describe it, right? And you have to polish it, right? And you have to make sure that it's in good shape, and you can't just throw it out there willy-nilly and then you get, you know, unnecessary wear and tear, right? It's just like if you have a beautiful, I'm going to use the jewelry analogy, if you have a beautiful piece of jewelry, you're not going to wear it to go to the gym, But you're going to wear it to go out for your fancy date night dinner, right? Like, there are times to wear it, and there are times to not. There are times for JJ to throw and throw a lot, and there are times for him to scale back. And he has now learned, working with Tom House, he has learned the scale back part. But as they go through, they're just very early on. I was talking to someone else in Michigan football the other day, and I don't even ask for a lot of information, because if I ask on any given day, as I said, oh, yeah, JJ was great today, or Cade was great today. Yeah, today, right? Like, you need the full report to actually truly understand what's going on at camp. Try to not read, and it's hard as fans. I get it, because I'm in the same position as all of you. It's very hard to not read into the tea leaves when you see them. Like, a coach says something, a video clip comes out. You want to jump on it and just think it's like really important. And it most likely is just a play, right? It's just one throw. It's just one this. It's just one that. But it is still exciting, as you mentioned, Anthony, as we talked earlier this morning. We are excited for the football part of the season to get here. I'm not super ready yet for the first pregame show. Got a lot of prep work for that part, obviously. But from a fan, purely a fan perspective, to walk into the stadium, yeah, I'm ready to do that. Because it was last week or the week before when Miz and I went to the food tasting over at Michigan Stadium for the sweet food tasting. And you can spell sweet, S-U-I-T-E or S-W-E-E-T, because it was sweet and it was for the sweets. But yeah, you just walk in a stadium and you go down in the field. I know Alejandro and Zach and a couple other media guys had a 3-on-3 football game for a few minutes down there on the field. Miz and I took off because we had to come back here. Miz was had M Zone and stuff to do and whatnot. But we were, plus I'm too old to play a pickup flat touch football game on a field anywhere. But just to be at the stadium and just to be on the field for a minute, you know, to be in the sweet area, all right, football's closer. Started to feel it a little bit more. So, you know, I did not watch any at all of the Hall of Fame game on Thursday, but some clips go on social media, whatnot, right? You know, you're seeing stuff from training camp. I can imagine what the fans that were down at Ford Field were like on Saturday. 18,000 Lions fans approximately showed up at Ford Field for an open practice, right? We're just excited about football. We're going to get to a recruiting roundup. We didn't have any recruiting roundups today, but we'll get to recruiting roundups this week. And we always talk to Alan True the week Sam goes away. And we'll get Alan's lineup, you know, who started camps, where are the earliest games? Because football is here, pretty much. There might even be games like this weekend in, like, you know, Indiana or Kentucky or something. I'm not sure who starts first. But we're within the next couple of weeks of scrimmages and games, and then, you know, we go from there. It's always a really fun time of year. Obviously, as we are gearing up 26 days away into the start of the football season, you see things coming out of camp and you get extra giddy, you get extra excited. That JJ to Roman play, I mean, I know Tim out in Three Rivers, who's got relationships with the Wilson family. You know, when he saw that play, he went crazy. He probably jumped out of his chair or what he was watching. I hope he wasn't driving or wasn't in a car or somewhere with a low ceiling, because he would have jumped up and hit his head. That play got him excited. But it got a lot of fans excited, and it should. Watching any football should get you excited at this stage, as we are 26 days away until the start of the Michigan football season, and just after that to the NFL season, and it's right around the corner.
Do you ever catch yourself, Ira, if you're scrolling through the channels, maybe at home, or you come across the Big Ten Network from time to time, and it's all football and 60 on the Big Ten Network, and you happen to see a football game on, whether it was week one or week two of early in the season, or it was like some sort of game that was close. Like, I think it was sometime last week, maybe it was the week before, it was recent, that I caught myself scrolling through the channels and the Big Ten Network was on. I'm like, yeah, let's see what Big Ten 60's got. And it was Michigan-Penn State, and I watched the entire thing. I know what happened.
Right, so if Michigan's on...
It was exciting just to... Okay, I football is getting back.
And that one with the Eric All play at the end, the way they ended, like the way they won the game, it was a pretty thrilling, you know, winning of a game on the road. If there's a Michigan game on, they won. And it doesn't have to be the year. But if there's a Michigan game on day one and, like, there's nothing really on TV and we don't have anything going on, maybe it's a rainy day, that kind of thing, so we're just kind of hanging out at home, I'll leave Michigan on. But if they lost, I'm not leaving it on. Even if they had great plays in the game, I don't leave losses on, no matter what the game is. And I don't care how old the game is. And I'll be honest, if it's not Michigan, because I don't really like almost anybody in the Big Ten, I don't really have a reason to leave on anybody else at this stage. But I get your point. But if it's a live game, I'll tell you right now. So we're 26 days away to the start of the season. We're 19 days away to the week zero games. I will watch week zero games. Now, there's a couple. There's at least one Big Ten game, like a true Big Ten game in week zero. But there are multiple Big Ten teams playing in week zero. And so actually, of course, right when I needed it, I hit the button to get out of where I needed to be because I was in the right spot to look at it. But I was looking at these games the other day. I was looking at it yesterday. I was just kind of getting a feeling of when the games are. But on Saturday, October 27th, you have Nebraska versus Northwestern on Fox from the Aviva Stadium in Dublin, Ireland. So they're going overseas to play that game. So I don't like Nebraska. I don't really have – well, I actually have some interest in Northwestern because I got some friends on the staff there. But I love rooting against Nebraska. And we're kind of curious what Michigan plays them, right? So you're curious what they look like, you know, later in the year. It's still very early versus when Michigan's going to play them. But it's still – you get a, you get an early look at them. For that matter, at 4 o'clock on BTN on the day of week zero, that Saturday, August 27th, Wyoming is at Illinois. I don't expect Illinois to be all that good. Illinois is still a 10-point favorite for that game, so I don't expect it to be a really good game. But you know what? If it's raining – oh, wait, no, actually, I actually have plans that day, so maybe I won't be watching football. Grace has her first soccer tournament. But I will watch the games. I will follow them along while I'm down at her, especially because she's going to have time off. That game at 12:30, she'll probably be in a gap. Because that last year, she had her soccer tournament down in Bowling Green, and we went to a sports bar for lunch in between games. I was totally watching live football and totally into it. Week zero games that have no interest to me whatsoever, I was totally into it. So you're not wrong about that. If there's football on BTN, if it's taped and Michigan's on it, and they won, I'll keep it on. If it's live starting in 19 days... yeah, I'm probably leaving it on because I'm pretty giddy and pretty excited about football. Definitely excited about talking to Scott Bell, the mayor of Michigan Twitter, coming up in about 15, 20 minutes from now. Coming up on the side of the break, more of the Michigan Insider here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.